It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I feel like I still have debate hangover.
Yes.
Like,
I'm with you.
I can't. There's just some things you can't unsee, Mel.
No, you cannot. And that's one of them. That
whole
night.
There's just some things you can't unsee.
Will you be watching the VP?
I don't know.
Debate.
I mean, this.
I think that will be a little bit more respectful to each other.
You know what? I'd like to think so.
I
believe that, you know, both of them will be, they've got to be better.
Oh, please, then what I hope
whatever
so.
That was.
And I think the next debate they'll shape up.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. I'm trying to do two things, right? I'm trying to make this determination. And I think a lot of people are in the same boat, which is you can only let this external stuff affect your world to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone has to determine for themselves what that degree is and what that percentage might look like. But I've got stuff I've got to worry about. Like, I've got clients I have to take care of. I've got projects that I want to work on. I've got a family I'm obviously actively raising. I have a house that needs things, like everybody else, and I have to make the determination how much of my attitude is going to be determined by these external forces, and how much I'm going to let that affect me. And I think everyone's in that same boat. I mean, it was the kind of thing where I was like, well, that wasn't real substantive, and although I depending on the political, depending on your political persuasion. You probably saw a little bit of something for everybody. You probably thought some guy was, you know, saying something relevant, I guess. And then that's why I think coming to this airway on this Sunday morning, especially after this really weird week, and I don't know that it's going to get less weird, guys. Over the next 30 days, I don't know that it's going to get less weird. So the promise on today's show on the Design Coach radio program is to say, how do we create sanctuaries? Because I think we really need them now more than ever. Am I wrong?
You are absolutely correct.
I think we need sanctuaries now more than ever, and there's no better sanctuary than our homes. And controlling the things that we can control, and it's not so much maybe necessarily controlling them, but laying the foundation and laying the groundwork for just a life of great substance and you know, wrapped in great style if, you know, you decide that that's something that you want. And, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, Mel, we are so thrilled with the transformation that's happening in our showroom. Like, it was kind of like Christmas this week.
You're kidding, and I wasn't there?
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know, what's great about the new spaces, and I've said this before, the new studio loft experience is allowing us to really concentrate on bringing in and connecting people with great design ideas and great design resources on I would say, in a platform, in a space, and on a level the likes of which we have never really done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always been really proud of our retail spaces and the way we've put them together. I think people have enjoyed them. I really liked what we've done to sort of get to this point, but this is something completely different. This is something really special. And we've started the transformation of a lot of our new fabrics.
Ooh,
for our fabric,
I like
for
it.
Our fabric libraries. Yeah. And I have to say, cool. You know, while the rest of the world seems to be at somewhat of a standstill in some regards, I can tell you that artisans, artists, and manufacturers of a lot of the great products in the design universe are alive and well and back working and back shipping and, more importantly, creating again. And the new fabrics that we've been seeing come across our design table have just been super inspiring. I mean, you know how much of a plaid fan I am?
Yes.
A plaid fan I am, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, I just looked at a line by the name of S. Harris, owned by Fabricut, and the number of different, innovative, really interesting plaids, like, even if you're not a fan of plaid, using it in a percentage, in a fun, even a fun traditional or even fun funky plaid, combination was really something cool, and I'm excited to get those in. We've expanded our entire fabric library and completely revamped it. And we started that process about a month and a half ago, and now everything's flying in. And now everything's starting to come in. And we're getting excited about just the array of different offerings that we have available at our fingertips now.
Nice.
In a setting that is going to be so much fun. So you still have to make a trip.
I know I do.
And if you want to book an appointment at the Pillow Bar and for the Studio Loft experience, just hello at thedesigncoach.com. Let us know what time might work for you. And we'll get you a slot. So really fun things. And I contrasted what was happening last week with just sort of, again, the continued sort of tumultuous nature of everything that's happening out there. Mm-hmm. And I've just decided that I'm going to go full on fall. And I'm going to stay in that mode. And I'm going to stay in that pocket for as long as I can.
I think it's smart. I think you're smart to do that.
Well, listen, on today's show, I have a very interesting, you know, maybe we should have saved the cocktail hours for like this week.
No kidding.
Right?
No kidding. 40,
listen, those 44 different recipes that I covered, well, I didn't cover all 44, but that I mentioned on last week's show from Delish.com.
And no, we didn't drink all 44.
No, we didn't. Maybe we should. I'm sure some of us feel like it. Go take a look at that, because I'm telling you, that was really a special list. And, you know, you've heard me say in this time of like massive uncertainty, and I've even written a couple blogs about this topic, in this time of uncertainty, it's really important for you to find solace and for you to find peace and for you to find some sort of nurturing environment. And there may be no better place than to do it at home. You know, I wrote a blog a few months ago about how my studio and the various creative spaces that I've had have really been places that have sort of nurtured me, where I feel like I find moments of clarity creatively. You know, as an artist, being able to create something of value out of nothing has been something that for me has been just a great way to stay sane. Right. I mean, a lot of people take up their quote unquote hobbies as a diversion or a distraction. Mm-hmm. that also is, you know, skillful and fun for them to do. And, you know, hopefully with your hobby, you don't just produce memories, but some hobbies actually produce physical, tangible items. Right. And that's never been more true than for me in the studio. But I think it's important for us to begin to take that attitude, that mindset, and that concept, and translate it to probably what's the most important. I don't know. It's, you know, we talked about the classroom. And, you know, I don't want to get into the whole thing that we talked about with Chip Wade about how there's a little bit of a disconnect there. But I think, you know, right now you're figuring out and you're finding out what's going to work, what's not working for your family on the classroom side. I know that there's a lot of families out there right now who are really just trying to keep their kids focused and motivated. And I know that they're trying their best. And they're also trying to keep, more importantly, or not more importantly, but as important is the ability to keep yourself motivated. You know, I saw some posts come across my social media feed about, you know, like, wow, like I in the beginning, I was excited to teach my kids, and I was excited to go down this road with them, and was looking forward to it. And now it has just become something that has gotten difficult. Mm. And, you know, so, you know, listen, a lot of us are not trained, right, professional educators, mm-hmm, you know? And so I hope that we're all leaning on our local resources to sort of help get us through. I do know that many of the schools, especially in the area, have, you know, have made the educators and the administrators accessible to be able to lend the support. But you have to take advantage of it. You know, if you feel like you need help and you feel like you're getting frustrated and you feel like your mental health is taking a dive, right, then just know that there are people out there who want to help you and reach out, right? I mean, I say it's the same thing with me in design. If, mm-hmm, if you feel like you're just stuck and you need to just email someone, email me. Email me, hello@thedesigncoach.com. I will answer your question. Shoot it out to me. I don't want you to feel like you're alone. And I feel like the whole point of this radio show and the reason I come on the airways every Sunday is to inspire, is to give you ideas, and to give you information, but also to let you know we're all kind of in it together, and I'm going through the same stuff at home that you're going through. I have an office revamp for my wife that I want to get to. I got bathrooms I got to remodel, and I have to figure out a way to get that done. I've got kids who are trying to balance, you know, their version of online school away from home and at home. And so, again, I come again to the airways, like I've said quite often, I come to it, I am you. I might be a design professional and have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge, but I'm living the same life you are. And I'm not trying to come on the airways telling you that I'm an expert. I just have a perspective that I think might be helpful. And when I come back from the break, I want to chat with you guys a little bit about, we talked about trying to set up a great classroom environment for your kids, mm-hmm. but I think we need to dig into a little bit about more this home office setup and what that looks like, and maybe the must-haves in an office setup, especially during maybe what we're heading toward, which is the next winter COVID cocoon. So we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sasana. We're going to dig into this ultimate office, home office must-haves. We're going to dig into that. I've got some, I want to contrast my advice with some of the advice that I've been seeing. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But you have a design trend question for me, don't you?
I do have a design trend question for you. I came across this week from Glitter Guide, and I...
Hold on, right there. Glitter Guide, right there. Okay.
The Glitter Guide...
I'm already shaking my head.
I know. Theglitterguide.com.
God forbid the site be actual design advice you can use.com.
I'm blown away by this. This is the home trend we all need this fall.
Oh, so say that again. The home trend we all need this
fall.
So this is the context for this.
And I am telling you, I don't need it. I don't think...
What is
it? Just take a look at that picture and tell me what you think that... You're going to know what it is.
Dear
that piece of
Lord,
furniture.
What is that?
It is foam furniture.
Wait a minute. So
it's insulation foam.
Okay. This is...
Have you... Really?
This explains a lot. This is, you know, like when you thought that our world couldn't get any wackier after the crazy debate earlier in the week and whatever's going on in everybody's mind and up is down and down is up and right is wrong and whatever. This is a new low. This is a new design low.
Awful.
So what they've done, just to sort of describe this to everyone, this is from glitterguide.com.
Yes.
What they've done is they've taken insulation spray foam that you would use to close up a hole,
yes,
like in your foundation,
yes,
or in your cabinet,
or wherever.
And they've just taken a piece of furniture,
yeah,
like an end table, for instance, and they spray foamed it. You know what it looks like? It looks like the bad version of a popcorn ceiling. it looks like it's mutating. Am I wrong?
They just covered
it in spray foam.
It's the weirdest thing ever. Then they have candles sitting on top of that.
That's got to be a joke, Mel. That's got to be a joke.
No,
it's got to be a joke. It's serious
not.
Advice.
It is serious advice.
That they should just be taking spray foam insulation rather than good old fashioned paint.
Yes,
and just transforming it with paint.
Yeah,
they're transforming it by just throwing goop on it.
Mm-hmm. It's
goop
awful.
Goop and foam.
It's terrible.
It's horrific, and it is a new low. And I can't, that's not a trend, I'm telling you right now.
No. And I know we've talked about trends before.
Again, you know where my mind goes with that, though? My mind goes to was that one of those like, hey, I got a friend who sells spray foam, and you know what he or she did? Oh my gosh, there's another picture.
Yes, I looked
in
up
a pink
the,
bathroom.
Yes, I
so
just
it's a picture in a pink bathroom.
The
They've
website.
Taken a stool,
mm-hmm.
glitterguide.com.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken a stool and they've spray foamed it. And it looks like it's, oh gosh, I mean, it can't be very comfortable. Maybe it is comfortable to sit on.
I'm not sitting on that.
Well, here's the thing. In the last one, they did an end table.
Yes.
And the end table, I mean, it looked like it would have needed a piece of glass in order to really make it usable.
This is awful. I
thought the beer cans lining the walls last week from the Budweiser house in Florida, I thought that was different. And this is just about the strangest thing I've seen. It just goes to show you, guys, you have to be careful what you're consuming from the digital design universe.
Yes, you do.
You really do. Because as it relates to topics on today's, you know, related to today's show and this ways to find office must-haves. And by the way, spray foamed upcycled furniture would not be it. I mean, you're just shaking your head because I'm kind of in disbelief.
They're saying we're big fans of this quirky decor trend and looking forward to experimenting with their own spray foam furniture. This is why
you don't buy into trends.
Because it is two things
to watch for in trends. One, watch for massive amounts of product placement. In other words, I'm going to tell you this is a trend because I want you to buy this particular product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's appearing in a magazine, or that's why it's appearing in sort of as some sort of editorial content. They're not letting you know that it's paid, right? Even though it's not technically paid, it might be taken out in trade or some other way or whatever is happening to push this particular trend to the forefront. You always have to be skeptical of whether or not it's being foisted upon you and for what reason. So that's the other reason. That's one of the reasons to be cautious of trends. Second is just because someone says it's a trend or wants or wishes it to be a trend, I'm telling you right now, I don't think that's a trend. I think it's a neurosis.
A neuro what?
I think it's a therapeutic exercise. I think if you're...
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like... I related it to like Mod Podge. Like it's kind of got a...
Yeah.
It's got a chunky, crafty feel to it.
It does.
I don't... And here's the thing. I don't even want to know more about it because it's totally and completely hideous.
It's terrible.
And now that you've spray foamed it, it's not like you can even... I don't even know if you can recycle that now.
True.
Like if it didn't work out, can you recycle that? I don't know much about the sustainability of spray foam.
This I do not know because I'm not, and
I can't imagine.
Like,
spray.
I'm not going to. I don't so know
that. Yeah, but I don't know that spray foam is super eco friendly. If I had to guess, I'm going to say not so much.
I mean, it has to be friendly in a little bit of a way, right?
Well, would it be like friendly? Like if you touch it, nothing bad will happen. You know what I mean? Like, but I wouldn't eat it. Like, what do
no,
you mean?
You're not
what do you mean?
It.
Or I wouldn't. I can't imagine that. Okay, so let's just say that stool is sitting outside a shower.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm sorry. We're gonna follow this to this irrational conclusion. I have to. We have to flush this out. So that stool that's been spray foamed is holding a plant.
Yes.
So it's not really usable. It's more like decorative. Okay.
Yeah.
But what if you needed to put on some socks and you're wet. And then are you coming? Well, I'm just saying it was by the shower.
I know.
So like you're getting out of the shower and you're not fully dry.
Ew.
And then you sit on a spray foam stool that's chunky.
That's very chunky.
It looks like cottage cheese clinging to an off furniture object.
Out of a tube.
Yeah, I don't
so
even know.
Weird.
Tube or spray can. I guess I can.
It's so weird.
Anyway, speaking of other things that you don't need, I was researching, sort of the must-haves for the ultimate home office, which is what I want to talk about today. And I was looking at BuzzFeed, and I was looking at a couple of other websites that, I was looking for like really good hardcore kinds of like functional tips, because everything from the design universe, or not everything, but a lot of things from the design universe tend to be more style driven. You know, like, oh, home office, try pink, right? And or try glitter, or try spray foam, apparently. but don't like grandma's old sofa? Go buy some
spray foam.
3M spray foam. I don't even know if 3M makes it. Oh, it doesn't really matter. It was the whole point of the joke. Anyway, speaking of things you don't need, some of the things that they were talking about was, like in some of these design blogs, they were talking about like do you have one of those Himalayan salt lights?
I don't.
Okay. You've seen them though. Like,
yes, I
have. You go to people's cubicles sometimes in the office or you'll see it, and it's, I think my daughter has one in their dorm room.
It's supposed.
And so my question is, okay, the cynic in me is saying, are they really from the Himalayas?
That's a great question.
Or is it a Himalayan style salt? Because the salt chunk is pretty big. Like, I mean, it's about the size of your hand, maybe bigger.
Yes.
It's hollowed out for a light.
And it's pretty.
The label said made in China. So I don't know if they actually harvest salt stones?
I wonder about this as well.
And And I, they're supposed to have some sort of therapeutic spa, like like effect on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, maybe we need a gemologist or like, maybe we need we need to bring that person in studio to explain how the different stones kind of affect your mood.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm just saying that that was one of the recommendations for a home office.
Was
the Himalayan salt stone light fixture, right? Because they're not, it's never just like a hunk of salt. It's a hunk of salt
sometimes
turned into a light.
Sometimes it's a hunk of salt that you can put in oils. And so you have all of this natural oil.
This just sounds very messy.
That you plug in and you get the steam from like a lavender. So you get like
In other words, it heats the oil and then it becomes like effervescent. Okay. And it just, it sort of, it exudes a scent.
Right.
Other than the therapeutic nature of the actual Himalayan salt. And what makes Himalayan salt so different than...
I don't know.
Listen, after that debate, maybe we all needed like an entire mine, okay, of Himalayan salt crystals around us. When we come back from the break, here's what we're going to dig into. We're going to dig into ultimate must-haves for the home office. And I want to talk about the concept of maybe the best way to select the room in your home that might be the best candidate for this. Because I think a lot of people are struggling with the open floor plans and being able to get away. And I want to talk about ultimate office must-haves when we come back for the break. We're going to get into some functional design advice that really matters. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Big sigh to start the third segment of the show.
You're ready to help us out with
our
office.
I don't know. I'm very fidgety in the chair today.
What's going on?
I don't know. It's making a lot of noise.
One of these days you're going to come in with your own chair.
My own chair. You know what? We're going to get to these must-haves for the ultimate home office. And I got to tell you, that's in the list. We're going to get to that. But by the way, you're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about a lot of things, but you do not have me coveting the spray foam furniture.
I'm glad.
I don't know how you found that. Did that just come up in your feed?
Yes. Yeah.
See, this
because
is the
I liked the glitter guide.
You like the glitter guide.
They have different. They recommend like different books to read.
So I shouldn't condemn the website just based on this ridiculous notion. Of the foam furniture.
Not yet.
So you're telling us we're going to give them one.
I'll give them another chance.
You're going to give them another chance because they've done some other good things for you.
They have. Yeah. It's all right.
I guess that's fair.
Okay. Good.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you about your home office setup, Mel.
Okay.
I want to when you go home. Do you have a home office setup or do you just sort of pull your laptop up wherever you are?
No, I do have a home office. I do have a desk, a stationary desk that I've had for years. It's very heavy. I really like it. It's very homey to me because I've lived several different places, different states, and that one piece.
So that desk has been a constant for you.
It has been. It's black, but I do want to paint that.
I'm not worried about the color,
but
functionally it's important for you.
Yes, it is. And I do have my desktop, although it's in an extra bedroom that I have a day bed in. So it's...
Why is that? Why are you making that face?
Because,
I think that sounds like a really decent setup.
Okay, good.
Were you worried that I was evaluating it?
Well, I just am worried when people come over, guests come over, that I don't want them to feel like that I'm putting them in my home office. But yet I don't want to feel like that I'm tired and want to go lay down when I'm in my home office.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
You know, so
I get that.
That's why I chose a day bed because it just doesn't resemble like, yo, come and lay down on me, you know?
Well, here's the thing, you know, the reason I ask is because, you know, we have a variety of different home office setups at Shea Sassano. You know, Julie has her dedicated office, which has been through a couple of minor tweak revamps over the past few weeks. Over the past few months. You know, I think I told everybody about her Zoom background.
Mm-hmm.
And then she doesn't do one of those digital Zoom backgrounds like you're on the moon or you're, you know, at a beach or something like that. Yeah. Like she just wanted a decent backdrop. Mm-hmm. So we put some artwork behind her and she sort of oriented the desk a little differently. And it actually is working out much better for her. She just recently did an organizational revamp to her home office. And I think, you know, obviously from an organizational perspective, if the office doesn't feel clean or tidy, you know, we've talked about mentally how that can make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as I was going through the list of must-haves from a couple different websites, I was finding very little really decent functional advice. I was finding more style cues than anything else. I was finding some product placement. But it got me thinking about, you know, if I were to share some of my expertise from home offices that we've done, not only for ourselves, but for clients, you know, what would that list look like? And I kind of wanted to go through that with everybody.
Excellent.
So that we could kind of trigger in you or inspire you in some way to maybe think about the home office a little differently. Because I think everybody thinks about it as an area or a room versus a setting.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay,
right.
So
yeah.
I know when I think about where I want to do certain types of work, certain settings are better than others,
mm-hmm.
depending on what I want to be doing. So for instance, if I'm writing my blog and I really need to be like really into the wordsmith part of my brain and I really need to think and concentrate, I almost can't have any white noise. I need a quiet place where I can kind of separate myself so I can keep reading through and mm-hmm. editing myself and sort of compiling my thoughts. If I'm doing anything financial, same thing. Like need to kind of isolate myself, a little bit more quiet. I actually find myself turning the music down,
mm-hmm.
you know? But when I'm doing something creative, like making selections on something or sort of putting a space together either digitally or I'm drawing something or I'm creating something, then it's a little bit more of a loud, more creative, more fun type of atmosphere, right?
Yeah, just a different vibe.
But every room isn't conducive to the same setting. And I wanted to get this out at least in this particular segment because I think what I want to encourage people to do is I think I need you to think about it, especially now, because so many of us, and I was just talking to a client this week, I don't know when we're going to be going back, guys, to the office. I don't know what that's going to look like. You know, forget about restaurants for a minute. Let's just talk about office protocols. Office protocols are all over the map and different in every county,
mm-hmm.
in every state, and every part of the country.
And I think it's also forever changed.
Well, and if you work for a national firm, if you work for a company that's got multiple locations in multiple states, you know, they're trying to come up with some standardized uniform
mm-hmm.
protocol for the entire company. And regardless of whether or not the protocols are more relaxed, right, or more stringent in your particular part of the country, sometimes that policy is, you know, company-wide. Right, regardless of where the office
right.
is and in what state. So I think it's really important, especially as we head into fall and we think about, you know, the nesting here in the Midwest that we do, because that's what we do. You know, we begin to sort of prepare for the fact that we're not going to be outside as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to make sure that we are thinking in terms of environment and setting and having more than one space to do different types of activities. And I wanted to kind of cover that as a broad topic because everyone's focused on the home office being the area or the room versus the setting. Okay? Now, you've heard me say that there's this love-hate relationship that I have with these open floor plans. The downside that people are realizing, especially now, is that with the open floor plan, it is hard to get away. It is very difficult or can be very difficult to have one person carrying on a conversation about school in one part of the open floor plan and then someone trying to have a Zoom business call on the other side. That's proving to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I've even heard clients say, I don't even know where to go. You know, some people are going to sort of different locations of offices that they do know are open. They're just trying to find places. Some people are even Zooming in their cars. You've heard this, where they are literally saying, I just go into my car and I have my meetings in my car in my garage.
Wow.
Okay? So this is going to be an ongoing challenge. And I think we've touched on it, but I haven't really addressed the must-haves. And the first thing that I want to address is, I think it's important for your work environment to be somewhat mobile and flexible. I think you should be thinking about the multiple settings where you can have your go-tos for certain types of activities. The same way that I referenced earlier in this segment about if the activity is a little bit more lighthearted, like you're just putting to-do lists together for work, or maybe you're gathering recipes, or maybe you're putting lesson plans together for the kids. If you're doing that type of activity, I see that as being a place where you can kind of do that out in the open. But then you need to be able to have the go-tos or the areas in your home or the rooms where you can break away that aren't maybe your car, right? And so you mentioned that the guest bedroom is one of the things that you were worried about, you know, making sure guests didn't feel like you shoved them in your office. Mm-hmm. But don't you think to a certain extent all that's off the table now with the fact that you're probably not having as many guests over as you used to? I mean, people are not, Mel, you might be, but a lot of people are not having overnight guests with the frequency that they did when there was no COVID.
Right.
They're just not.
Right.
You're, I mean,
right.
You know, normally the parents who you might visit you, who might actually stay the night, mm-hmm. they might not be. Mm-hmm. They might just be coming in for the day trip.
Right.
Or maybe you're meeting them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the mindset needs to be, how do I create an environment and how do I create as many interesting settings to be able to have my house become more flexible? So I think the home office and the definition of that, I think, needs to evolve and change, not based on sometimes a fixed room, but maybe the different environments to do different kinds of work. And are you maximizing every square foot of your home to be able to accommodate the ways you like to work? Because what I find is it's not just one way you're working. Sometimes you're working more creatively. Sometimes you're working a little bit more intellectually. And sometimes you're actually working a little bit more socially. And is your home set up to have the kind of bandwidth from a functional perspective and a style perspective to handle all of the different ways and maybe the new ways for some time we may be working? We're going to talk about that and more when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Mel, you know, that's interesting that we were talking off air about, you know, I had to unplug the home phone because we were just getting way too many political calls.
So many.
And now they're getting into your text.
Yes.
Like your mobile phone mm-hmm. has become like your main form of communication for a lot of people. And clearly that number has been given out to whomever.
I know.
And it's being leveraged to send whatever message they need to send.
Right. I want to know who gave them my phone number.
And you're probably never going to know.
I will never do business
with
them.
But that's where, when we talk about today's topic being, you know, how do we create these sanctuaries,
yes.
and these settings within our home where we can, you know, kind of do both collaborative work, fun work, social work, and intellectual work, and maybe not focusing on the fact that it needs to be one room or one area, but what are the different settings? I know that for my family, like for instance, there are definitely times. Do you know that laptop sales are up like something like 300%?
Well,
like it's insane.
I know. And at one point you couldn't get them.
Well, which makes total sense,
yes.
right? Because I mean, if you know, the first thing that I would say is that if you even want to return simple emails and that you just want to be more flexible, I think that you need to obviously rethink the desktop. Okay. That if you're currently working on dated technology, one of the things that is key to the concept that I'm espousing now, especially in the different settings within your home, is the ability to take your tech with you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to take your tech with you, and it can't always be your phone.
Don't you think, though, that people that have a desktop do have an iPad or a laptop?
I would like to think so, but here's the one thing that I do know. I think most people's technology as it relates to computers, not phones, but computers, is somewhat out of date. I think that there's a lot of people still working on some desktop mm-hmm. in the corner that they've had
mm-hmm.
for a while. You know, maybe they haven't made the change to the laptop right yet. Maybe they haven't done that. I mean, it's always interesting to me to see the breakdowns from some of the advertising campaigns we do digitally and how many people are doing it mobily mm-hmm. from a mobile device and how many people are doing it from a desktop.
Yeah.
That so is
interesting data.
I think that, you know, I don't know, when was the last time you actually bought a printer? When was the last time you actually bought, you know, when was the last time you wirelessly printed to your wireless printer without hooking it up? I mean, I think one of the things that's important is if you're ready to do sort of a small tech upgrade, now's the time to do it, especially this winter.
Oh, yes.
You know, so make sure that you're mindful. And I think the first must have that I want to mention to everyone as it relates to being more flexible within the I'm going to call it the different work zones in your home mm-hmm. is make sure that your internet connection, that you can get signal throughout your home. Make sure that you have enough power cords to be able to do easy plug-in. and make sure that you can take your tech with you to different parts of the home. And I find this to be the case with me. Like I will now leave. I've purchased multiple power cords because my mm-hmm. battery runs low every now and again. Mm-hmm. I've purchased multiple battery or multiple cords for different rooms so that I can just do an easy plug-in when mm-hmm. I'm there. You know,
that's key.
Maybe I don't have one mouse. Maybe I have two inexpensive mouses. Mice?
Is it mice?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Chip Wade because his was $100. Sorry. Maybe Chip's was different, but I know that mine are more like $10.
Right.
And I have a couple, you know, and they come in different sizes. Have you ever seen the Minnie Mouse? Mice?
Yes.
Mouse. It's like mini for 11. Yeah. I kind of like that when cute. I'm like moving around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not colored. It's probably not up to Glitter Guide standards. According to you.
What about your pad?
And I'm certainly not going to spray it with foam.
No,
anyway,
don't do that.
So listen, you got to make sure you can take your tech with you. That's the first thing that I want to mention to you. But I also want to let you know that in order to really get settled, and this comes back to my studio setup days, as an artist, it's really important for you to have your materials and your tools within an arm's reach. Mm-hmm. That's a super important concept, right? You've got to make sure that even if you have different levels, first floor, second floor, you might want to think about setting up a secondary supply station on your second floor, especially if you're doing a guest bedroom setup for your home office. Clearly, you have the supplies in there. You might want to think about a secondary setup of supplies on your first floor or in your basement. Have enough paper. Make sure that it's stocked. I mean, you almost have to start thinking a little bit like a supply manager for an office mm-hmm. to say, do I have the right materials on every floor? And it's not just for you. Sometimes it can just be for your spouse or your kids, right? While they're trying to do homework. Mm-hmm. You know, printers have never been more reasonable. I mean, they're pretty disposable almost these days.
Yeah.
And you might want to think about making sure that not only are you wirelessly connected, but that you might have printers on more than one floor so that you're not constantly running around, right? And that you're not missing out on materials and supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Again, great design is really all about function that looks fantastic, but not fantastic first and then it sort of works. It's got to be, it's functional, you have everything you need, and then you can wrap it in great style. And I think if I were going to go through my list, the next on the list is, other than take your tech with you and other than make sure that you're stocked up on supplies in multiple locations, I think the other thing that I would say is, if you're trying to create a really easy work environment at home, make sure that you're taking advantage of surface area. And this is a really kind of an interesting, this is always interesting when I go into homes and I see only dedicated surface areas being like a kitchen island and a table. You know, the lost art of shelving is really something that I think is important, because a lot of people will think shelving, and on shelving, they will think knick-knack, frame, decoration.
Mm-hmm.
Versus real function. I think it's important in whatever area you're working, if you need if you want more space easily, you have to start thinking vertically. You have to start thinking in your space that you've got to use the vertical nature of whatever room to say, you know what, I don't even care if it's temporary, inexpensive shelving that I'm going to grab that's laminate with brackets from Name Your Big Box, or I'm going to order it online. It might just create an environment where your desk area gets less cluttered and you can put things in bins and baskets on mm-hmm. shelves in bins. You have to think about confining the clutter in ways that actually make it so that if you need to grab, let's just say you have a bin that's all school lessons, and you have a bin that's all photographs that you wanted to collect that you've had, you know, printed off or saved or whatever. And so you've got everything from work to hobby all at your fingertips, but not necessarily filed away. Because here's what I'm finding. When people put things away, quote unquote, in a drawer, behind a cabinet door, when they don't see it, they don't do anything with it. I don't know if you're like that. I know that I am. I like I'm a big fan of, I've always been a big fan of bulletin boards. Because I pin up things like the bills I have to pay. Mm-hmm. I pin up things that like I want to remember that I have to take care of. And I use that as a nerve center. And I know that it's not pretty. That's not the point. But at least I've created an area where I can see
right.
the different things that I want to try to tackle, or the things that I know that I'm responsible for, or even the things that I want to have fun with.
Mm-hmm. There's a function for that.
There's a function for it, but more importantly, I think that we, in our rush to confine the clutter behind something, we lose track of different activities and different responsibilities because they're not in front of our face and we don't mm-hmm. see them. You know, it's that old adage, out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. I think that you got to create an area where you can actually see some of the stuff that you need to work on. It could be as something as easy as kids' papers that you need to grade or hand in, right? That not everything can end up in a bin or behind a cupboard. That creating a space where you can see things is very important. It's almost like the garage utility concept, meaning when you put all your tools in a drawer and you can't see them, you might not know that they're there. Mm-hmm. You might not know that you have them. Versus if you have a nice pegboard in your garage and you can see all the tools, they're easy to access. Point being, you've got to find a place where you have a home base. And that home base needs to have a visual component of organization. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a big bulletin board where you pin up a bunch of paper. It could just as easily be a rack system, right, of folders, or it could be bins. But I think the visual nature of seeing the storage and labeling it, I think, is pretty key. Next on the list, as I talk about surface area, is that once you've used the vertical space, it frees up even the tiniest desk for more utility. You have more surface area. You can spread things out. I'm a very visual learner. I like to lay things out. I don't like to work everything digitally. I like to print some things off and pair different light fixtures together and see if those combinations work, which is very difficult to do digitally. You know, there's really sometimes no substitute for printing off the physical item of a piece of furniture or lighting and trying to group it together. That's why we do our big board concepts mm-hmm. at the office. I think that it's very important for you to have enough surface area where you don't feel crammed. When you feel crammed, you get stressed. When you're not organized, you feel frustrated. And then you feel like you're getting behind. And there's when I talk about a setting is hand in hand, style, substance, and organization. All three of those need to sort of link together. The other one that I wanted to talk about other than surface area is you guys got to find yourself a great chair. You know, I'm telling you, it's worth the investment to find yourself a really comfortable chair. And that doesn't just go for the office chair. Find a chair where you can pull up your laptop. You can get those lap desks. I always liked those lap desks that you put on where you can put up your laptop mm-hmm. and your lap doesn't get hot, right?
Yeah.
And then you can sort of feel like you have this portable desk.
Right.
I think that all of those things, and maybe having multiples of those in different areas, makes it so that when you move from area to area to do the best work that you can do, whether it's socially, intellectually, right? Whatever the task or activity might be, you've got to make it so that you have the right setting so that you can be in the right mindset. I mean, I know I only scratched the surface of a few things. I think I might actually put a blog out on this of top 10s. Look for that over the next couple of weeks. But if you want to know more about what I do and what we do, just go to thedesigncoach.com. You can take a look at kind of what we're up to also on social media. But thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us. This is Philip Sassano. Listen, have a great Sunday. You've been coached.